You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Hey, girl.
Get into the Bulls in a little bit, and Charles Barkley 1 hour from right now. I'll tell you what happened in bed last night. Someone in the Twitch box said it's a family show. Tariq Cohen has just tweeted, not that it's anything pressing, but I thought it was interesting to bring up since the Bears are always a focus on this show. Remember, Tariq Cohen is, I want to say, 14 or 15 months removed from the ACL injury. And he's, you know, he's been struggling with his rehab. I think I heard Weederer say today whether or not he was, I had in the background, so maybe we could bring back the answer. I thought I heard Dan say something about, like, they're wondering, has he had a second procedure to sort of clean some stuff up? I'm not positive.
Well, that question was asked of Matt Nagy weeks, if not months ago, and he didn't say no. He basically said something to the effect of, I'm not sure, I'll have to check on that.
Oh, right. And then the question was about to Nagy at the beginning of the year, how, hey, where's Tariq in his rehab? And then he says he's week to week. And then the next day corrected himself, said he should not have said week to week. So it all went into the conversation about, like, that when Nagy speaks, he hides stuff that he really shouldn't be hiding, and then he tells you too much, or it's just the silly stuff. Just weird stuff, yes. So I don't know if that has to do with that. I don't know if I'm missing an article where someone's second-guessing him, sort of like Derrick Rose. But Tariq Cohen, 6 minutes ago, tweeted, y'all couldn't imagine how much I miss playing football. Okay, that's... Of course. Yeah. I mean, I
want you to want to play football.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're a guy who has had early success, and
they gave you some money.
They did, and I bet you want to be out on the field. Yeah. Then he said, just think about it, YTF, and we know what that means. Why the you know what? Would I be sitting out on purpose? I'm a competitor in all caps. A pure effing competitor. People talk just to talk. Then he says, done venting now. Been a minute.
There's never been a thought that's gone through my mind that the reason he's not out there, it's because he doesn't want to be out there. I've always thought this must have been something more serious, or maybe there was a setback. That's what
right,
I mean.
Right.
I'm not a damn doctor.
Or the rehab hasn't gone as smoothly as a lot of these other ACLs.
My thought was never that there wasn't a want there.
Right, right. And then, like,
I'm going to be honest with you as well. I mean, with what we saw from David Montgomery earlier in the year, and then what we saw from Khalil Herbert filling in for David Montgomery, I don't feel like that they have missed a whole lot with him being hurt. I'm not trying to be callous.
We were discussing that off the air right before when I alerted you guys that he was tweeting. Like, what's his role coming back next year? I mean, do they look pretty good at running back right now, and I don't know what the contractual obligation is and how much dead money. It's not a huge deal, but it's still it's extra money on a team that could use all the resources made available to them. And having a luxurious third or fourth running back who could split out wide isn't exactly, like, again, we've talked about that they have not exactly played their cards well with the offensive line.
No.
And on paper, there's a lot of hope with Tevin Jenkins coming back with a window that, hey, if Larry Borum is good and if Tevin Jenkins comes back healthy and he's good, then maybe you finally have some homegrown products on lines. I'm not there yet with that. We need to see how these guys do.
Sure.
But you always can use more offensive linemen, and it's been an area of neglect in the Ryan Pace era. And these luxury items of four tight ends or five tight ends, and Jimmy Graham as a red zone specialist making what he's making, and the backup quarterbacks making what they're making. Those luxury items, when you have a football team that is hugely flawed in other areas, is one of the reasons why we say, what is Tariq Cohen's future with the Bears after this year?
Yeah, I don't look, I don't think anyone thinks he's a dynamic game changer. I think we all feel he's a solid player. He's gotten a ton of touches over the course of the last several years. Since he came into the league in 2017, these are his reception totals. 53 catches, 71 catches in 2018, 79 catches in 2019. Then he got hurt after three games, so the numbers were down. Like, his production in 2019 really got cut down. He only averaged 3.3 yards per carry running the ball and only 5.8 yards per reception in 2019. So there was a point of diminishing return with regard to what you were getting from him. If your offense is rolling nicely and you've got other things taken care of, your tackles, your line secure, you've got everything else appropriated nicely, he's not a bad guy to have, you know, to run different plays, not a bad option to have in your offensive huddle. But you can't afford, in my opinion, to pay someone like that $6 million a year.
Right. So who is he directing that? I haven't heard anybody in the media or our fans questioning Tariq Cohen.
I wouldn't think so.
Whether or not he is getting that question inside the building. I don't know. And now this always, whenever this comes up, I have flashbacks to the D. Rose situation. And the reason I'll always stand by my confusion and my questioning of the Derrick Rose stuff was because it was all set up by Derrick Rose and Reggie themselves. They were the ones who came up with the commercial, the comeback.
Yeah.
Remember, they were the ones hyping the comeback. And all the news coming out of the Berto Center back in those days, too, was that he was looking great.
Right.
Like with Tariq Cohen, it's been, hey, he's not doing much.
Well, he's not practicing.
He's not practicing. He's not healthy enough to do much. Like the words that we were getting is the Bulls' best player in those practices in February were Derrick Rose. I used to tweet after every game, another win for the Bulls and another game closer to D. Rose. And it was like that. No one ever slowed down that train that then went like, again, if they didn't set up their own commercial, like a lot of people like to blame the media and blame the fans. They set it up.
Right.
They did a whole ad campaign with Adidas.
They led you to believe
that, hey, he's coming back this year. This is the goal. He's ahead of schedule. Things are great.
Yeah.
I don't want to relitigate that again, but if anyone were to
I've never
that.
Thought for a second that this was Tariq Cohen not coming back for any other reason other than he wasn't ready physically to go.
Right.
So when you read me that tweet a couple of moments ago, I was surprised because I have not heard anything contrary to, you know, hey, for whatever reason, he's not ready to go.
Has anyone else heard that? 312-332-3776 if you want to react to that. Mark on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
We're good.
First time calling.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Hey, I get what you guys mean about, you know, getting rid of the contract and all that. But in all honesty, if we're going to lose probably Robinson next year and no first round, I believe, so maybe sign a free agent, you know, wider. But what about using Cohen at the slot? You know, keep him like a Wes Welker type, you know?
Yeah, I don't think he's a pure receiver. I don't think you see Tariq Cohen and you think Wes Welker. You know what I'm saying?
Is he Devin Hester light? I know he's more, Hester wasn't really a backfield guy, but if you
were, I mean, what you were hoping for, who was the guy, the diminutive guy for the Eagles and the Saints?
Yeah, I know. Who played forever.
Yes, and was really good. It was a return man, and he was a component in the offense, and his name always escapes me, and he hasn't been out of the league for that long. But that's the hope, yeah, what you had.
Can you pull it? Do you guys have that name? He played forever with the Eagles and with the Saints. Maybe with the Chargers, did he start out too?
He may have, yeah.
And a really, like, good, solid role guy.
Yes.
And I can't pull the name
either.
It's not because he wasn't good, but because I've got a mental block here.
Yeah, well, welcome to my world.
You want to Google that?
I'm Googling this right now.
Here, I'll play this. This is Dan Wiederer, too, from Cap and Jay Hood this morning, talking about Tariq Cohen.
Are you guys talking about Darren Sproles?
Darren Sproles. Darren Sproles.
I think we
couldn't pull the name.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, Darren Sproles was kind of thicker
that
and stronger. That's what you were looking for from Tariq Cohen.
The difference is Sproles is fast.
Yeah, I think Cohen's, you know, I think with when
I know what I said. Yeah, you can disagree. I know what I said. I think Sproles was a speedster, and I don't think Cohen is quite
I'm not
that.
Accusing you of not knowing no. what you said.
No,
I'm just
I know.
Saying I think that I don't think speed's a problem for me with Tariq Cohen. I mean, I'm not looking for a fight, you know, as to who's the faster player. But from my, you know, I just thought the difference was.
Cohen's
not as, yeah, it's not as strong.
Here's Dan Weider this morning, I guess, on this is what we were referencing about the health of Tariq Cohen.
Since I saw Tariq at the end of the summer really struggling to bend the leg that he had surgery on, which is an indicator that something went wrong in the recovery process, that a second surgery was likely needed, and that the recovery time for this is extended out.
So, yeah, Dan never quite, I don't know. I don't know who Tariq is referencing or are people tweeting.
Somebody could have tweeted him something odd and he's responding
where
to it.
Where are you? Yeah. Yo, where are you?
I'm not.
Been a minute, you know, but I don't think anyone.
I'm more interested to see where Tevin Jenkins is right now. I think their offensive line is a bigger issue in my world.
That's an anchor.
What's Larry Borum, you know, how you feel about Borum, how he's getting along.
That's how you build a football team.
Yeah. Is Allen Robinson going to be available this weekend because he's got a bit of a hamstring issue?
Well, and that's, like, if you look at the Bears.
Kmet going to continue to improve? Like, my brain's in a different spot.
No, I know. And again, they're far away. And we believe they have to restructure the entire way the organization is. But if they do have the quarterback of the future and two tackles of the future,
then it was a good draft.
Not only was it a good draft, but then that's not a bad starting point. Do you know what I mean?
No, you're
other things can be filled quicker if you have a right tackle, left tackle, quarterback.
Look, the truth is, I think all of our criticism of Ryan Pace has been valid and warranted. If you come out of the 2021 draft with two starting tackles, your starting quarterback, and a sixth round running back that is more than serviceable, you've had a damn good draft.
Yeah, that would be his best draft.
That is reality. Right, you know, so like we're, you know, look, we've been critical when it's been necessary to be critical, but also willing to give praise when praise is worthy as well. So we'll see. I mean, that's still a book that's being written.
So I wanted to bring that to everyone's attention. Tariq Cohen tweeting about people second-guessing about that maybe he's not a competitor, that he doesn't want to be out there. Maybe he's heard some things second and third hand and things were misinterpreted. 312-332-3776. I want to know this from Bulls fans last night. And Barkley's going to join us coming up at 3 o'clock. Charles Barkley and the TNT crew, they've been all in on the Bulls. Shaq, we played you yesterday saying that the Bulls can win it all. Charles Barkley was the one saying with us in the offseason, his belief was the Bulls had the best offseason of any team in the league. That's obviously translating. When they lose a game like they lose last night on the road and they play as well as they did in the first half after back-to-back wins in Los Angeles, are you more, and especially because we're in the honeymoon stage, are you more likely to give them a break, cut them a break, or did that last night hurt? Like, were you pissed about last night? Where was your feeling about what the Bulls, they weren't able to finish last night? 312-332-3776. We'll play some of the lowlights from down the stretch coming up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
So last night's Bulls game started off with a bang again.
Couldn't miss.
It was fantastic. You're like, okay, they won back-to-back in L.A., had a day off. Now they're traveling to Portland. Two more games left on this West Coast road trip. Would they have a letdown coming out against a team that hasn't played up to what you thought? And no, they came out. They came out ready. Besides the ball going through Tony Bradley's hands a few times, they couldn't make many mistakes in the first half.
Your guy also, I think, had four fouls in 9 minutes.
Tony Bradley?
No. Who's your guy? Your fan club. You're the fan club.
Oh, Derrick Jones Jr. Yeah.
I think he had 4,000.
He did not have his best game yesterday, but again, he still he does a lot of things that I like. He defends, he runs the floor.
He fouls quickly too.
He does foul quickly, yes. Yes.
He's a quick fouler.
We're learning everybody's traits and habits.
Listen, you can't be perfect. I think a lot of the things that you pointed out that he does well are very valuable. But he's a quick fouler.
And I'm next, I'm falling for Javonte Green too. Stacey King said it best last night. How tall is Javonte Green?
He's listed as 6'4", isn't he? Well, let me see. I was on Derrick Jones seeing how many total fouls he has on the year. Javonte Green is 6'5". He's listed as 6'5".
And he may not be, but he plays like he's 6'10". The way he runs and the way he defends. And they play really small, and it's been okay without Vooch. But the way they started in that first half, even Will Perdue, who really goes after them at times, was pretty happy at halftime yesterday on the NBC.
Will's not happy with this team so far?
No. Will is a tough grader, which I like. I like that the guys on that show, who all three I like, with Goff and Kendall and Will, that they're not Bulls rah-rah, Bulls rah-rah.
Yeah. Holding them to a higher standard.
Yeah, Will has always been a really tough grader, which I like. Will can get salty. And he was even pretty good. He's like, boy, that was a really good half of basketball. And I even tweeted out that don't wake me up from this Bulls dream.
They woke you up in the second half.
I woke the hell up, yeah.
Yeah.
And here, let me play you some of the plays down the stretch. So they led by 20 late in the second quarter. The lead was 15 at the half, I believe. And then basically Portland catches them by the end of the third quarter. And it went back and forth in the fourth quarter. And it was a really good fourth quarter. And the Bulls reestablished some of the leads some of that fourth quarter, too. Then at the very end, they're chasing. They get it down to one. And, hey, let's give the ball to DeMar DeRozan.
DeRozan with 14 on the shot clock. Bulls down one. DeRozan slipped. Kept it alive. Lost it. Short. Billy Donovan can't believe there was not a foul. He's screaming at Scott Foster. 12 seconds left.
They rushed that. They really rushed that right there. They could have just settled down right there. They were trying to get something quick.
They did, and then they scored on the other end to go up three. And a lot of people, the thing I tweeted in the moment, I was calling from my bed, bedtime out. I wanted a bedtime
out. You wanted a bedtime?
I yelled. I was doing one of these, you know, I need a timeout, timeout. As soon as he hit the floor. And then you heard Adam Amin on NBC Sports Chicago say that Billy Donovan was upset there was no call. The replays show, if you watch it closely, that what Billy was running down to Scott Foster was he was signaling for the timeout.
Right.
So, like, that was a tough one. Because Stacey mentioned it too, that they rushed that. There was, I want to say, still 10 seconds left on the shot clock when he hit the deck. And it was the second time in a one-point game that as great as DeRozan has been. DeRozan has been so great. But in the Knicks game and now in this game, he slipped into time-to-make-shots moments.
Well, they also had a chance. Wasn't Zach's wide-open three a chance to tie it?
So here, they go down then. Portland scores.
Could not have had a better look.
Yes. So the Bulls then have the basketball, and maybe Zach was surprised he was this open.
Ball will inbound. LaVine, Caruso, DeRozan, and Bradley, the five out there. Levine gets free. This is a three to tie it off the front rim.
Oh, he got a good look, too. He was wide open.
Yeah.
There was no one in near him when he took that shot.
You're not going to get a better look than that.
Wow. That was a nice play.
Yeah.
So the Bulls weren't able to execute. The shots didn't fall for them in the second half, the entire second half. They didn't score much at all.
They scored 44 points. They scored 63 in the first half, and they scored 44 in the second half. It was a tale. Literally a tale of two halves.
And the way they shut down Dame and what's his name?
McCollum,
CJ. There was
a time in this game, I think, as they went into the third quarter, I think it was, where Ball, DeRozan, and LaVine were 18 of 26 from the field.
Yes, yes.
I mean, geez, they couldn't miss. I mean, they were on everything.
Brent Murphy tweeted me, there are guys who are like this, who aren't happy when a lot of Bulls fans are happy, who think that they've been getting overloved recently because of the compliments. I mean, shame on Bulls fans after 6 years of unwatchable Bulls teams that people are excited that they're number two in the power rankings, that these games are fun, and that DeRozan is looking like one of the best free agent signings in Chicago sports history. Like, he's already being talked about in that regard. Brent Murphy says, what happened to your Bulls? Up 20. Great shot by Zachary at the end. Barely made it hit the rim. That was
you got 82 of these. I mean, you're gonna go back and forth with people every game. I take that one. No, you take that. Listen, it was a disappointing second half. I'm still thrilled with my Chicago Bulls team.
Yeah, yeah, and it's going to be a tough game against Denver.
I did not call a bed timeout. I did not.
I was calling a bed timeout, and then there was I think it was the Zach play. Usually, especially lately, after I take over the upstairs TV with late night basketball or a late night football game, my wife has had her 2.5 hour fill of Bravo. She'll relent the change clicker or the remote over to me, and I get to watch basketball, but she'll doze off, and then I'll usually make a sound. I was doing a lot of cheering down the stretch as they were coming back again.
Did you get out of bed and get into a defensive stance at any point?
I did lean up in bed. I was laying down watching down the stretch, and the last few minutes I was up. I was up in bed, and then thus when I was calling for the timeout.
Yeah.
And when Zach, and a couple of times I was cheering when Zach hit some big shots down the stretch, and then all of a sudden she made a noise like during the Zach three. And I'm like, oh, she's mad at me because I'm making too much noise. I go, what? And she goes, no, I'm mad that Zach missed the three. And I'm like, oh.
Simpatico.
They're contagious.
True love.
It's wearing off on her.
Yeah, he's still not invited
reacting to the game, and she was surprised that Zach missed the shot, and she was disappointed that Zach missed the shot.
Still not invited to the Valentine's Day field trip.
To the Bulls game.
Yeah.
You're right. Scott in the West Loop, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Scotty?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Just, I wanted to talk about that deflating Bulls loss last night, second half. Mr. Bradley has oven mitts, his hands. Guy can't catch a ball. It's unfortunate. We need a better center at our grass because I think Mr. Jokic is going to go for like 40, 20, and 10 against us if we have Bradley in the lineup on Friday night.
So were you pissed last night? Or did you wake up this morning and you're like, all right, everyone's got a stinker here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to let it slide because obviously I would have been stoked to go 4-1 on the road trip. Obviously, a little pipe dream if we got out of Denver with a win, but it was definitely deflating how well we played in the first half. Everything was going, well in our favor. And then obviously the two guards got hot, and Jokic was the mouse in the house. He was just dominating against Bradley. He looks lost out there. We really need Vooch back. And
Scott, he's playing a role right now that he's not fit to play. I mean, because of necessity, because they don't have many guys and they're forcing him to start. He should be playing probably 7 to 10 minutes a game, rebounding, blocking some shots, doing some stuff. But there, he's in a, I've been critical of him, but he's in an unfair situation right now.
Teams with solid big men are going to take advantage of this situation until Vooch gets back. Like, again, Friday night's going to be a challenge for them in the paint. There's no question.
There were games I was disappointed with Vooch. This has been the Vooch appreciation trip.
Listen,
you appreciate now more what Vooch brings to the table.
Look, they had a bad half. Like, their defense wasn't as good. They turned the ball over quite a bit, and they didn't hit their shots. I mean, it's really simple, right? I think they were shooting like 58 or 59% from the field in total, and they were shooting over 50% from the arc. They didn't keep up that hot shooting in the second half. They didn't take care of the basketball, and the Trailblazers started to make some of their shots. Welcome to the NBA.
Chill on the South Side. You're at ESPN 1000. What's up, Chill?
Hey, how you guys doing? First time caller, long time listener.
Thank you, Chill.
You guys are the best. And Waddle, you were my favorite Bears receiver of all time.
Wow, that's high praise, Chill. Thank you.
Yeah, you did, man. Last caller kind of stole a little bit of my thunder. I was a little disappointed, mainly because of how excited I had gotten in the first half when they were up 19. And I'm just like, oh, man, we're going to be 3-1 on this road trip. And I didn't see the fourth quarter because I had to get up this morning too early.
Ooh, that's
the worst.
I woke
up and looked at the score, and I was a little disappointed. But then again, I think our lack of size is the reason we lost that game. And we're going to lose a lot of games because of that lack of size. So I wasn't as disappointed because it was just one of those games that you play in Jokic, and then when we play Joker, play guys like that, Embiid, you know, we're just gonna be too small. And so I was kind of okay with it.
Yeah, and then they'll see how they learn from it. You know, they after that Knicks loss, they played better. I was disappointed with the way they played against Philly because I don't think they played good basketball in the back-to-back games against Philly. Like, here they played a really, really good half of basketball on the heels of playing really good basketball in L.A., and then they just had a stinker of a third and fourth quarter.
Yeah, they didn't get to the line either. The Trailblazers shot 28 free throws. The Bulls only shot 20 of them.
Yeah, it's amazing in today's league. And the Bulls have shown you this already a few different times. 15-point leads can be erased quickly.
Yeah.
20-point leads erased quickly. Just, they're not 20-point leads from 1995.
No.
Like, I think a 20-point lead in a 20-point lead today is like a 7-point lead from 1995. 96, maybe a 9-point lead. But the way they shoot the three, the way the pace goes, especially if you got a lot of time, like the Bulls when they were down to the Knicks, I think they were down 11 with 2:15 left.
Yeah, that's why you don't ever see teams these days kind of pack it in and sit their guys with time left, because you can come back in this game today.
Someone's on the line. I want to get to him and all your calls, who is disappointed with something that Waddle gave out last night. We'll get to your call. And Waddle pulling the football move today. Wait till you hear what he's wearing. We'll tell you about it coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
We're going to be having a contest for tomorrow's broadcast. It is tomorrow, right? Tomorrow's Friday. I got the day right.
You tell me.
Today is Thursday. Tomorrow's broadcast, Friday's broadcast, start the weekend with us, Waddle and Sylvie. We're going, back.
Are we?
It's Big E Sylvie. Did you not know that?
Yeah, I did not draw the line between.
We're going, back to Boonies. I didn't know what I was doing.
I think people are more inclined not to go now.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think they're not going to go because of that.
Miller time at Binney's Beverage Depot in Vernon Hills tomorrow. You can guess how many alumni pullovers will Waddle wear at that broadcast. He's got two on today. We'll be giving away Ravens and Bears tickets.
Not true. I've only had one pullover.
I knew you were going to say one's a hoodie, the other was a pullover.
Well, let's be accurate, right?
One's a zip up, the other's a pullover.
I try not to talk in that tone, but now you're being accurate.
Waddle's layered himself today. I put this on the pre-show fist fight video. And you could also see it on the Twitch cameras at twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
Very comfortable today.
We did a brand new crosstalk Unhinged, where both of our former football players were letting the world know that they are NFL alums.
It's radio. There's nothing letting the world know.
Yurko had his Green Bay Packer alum.
He had his golf shirt on and his pullover on.
So he double dipped in Packers garb. Yeah. Today, Waddle's got his Bears 100 zip up on the outside.
Yep.
And that's layered over.
I do it to irritate you now.
His Bears alumni
should see my bear
hoodie.
See my bear underwear. Woo! You know what the price tag on this is?
Zero. Well, it's about 9 concussions.
Nothing.
Do you guys have nothing. Weird, like, clothing things like that? Like, will you wear a Bulls pullover over a Bears shirt? Will you stay one? Would you wear, like, a Bears hat with a Bulls jacket? Or do you try to stay one?
No, I avoid one
team today.
I avoid the one team. Like, so when I wear hats on the weekends, if I'm wearing, say, an SIU quarter zip, I will not wear an SIU hat. I'm not on their team. I'm not wearing their uniform.
Saying, like, will you wear like a Bulls hat then?
Yes.
So you're like, I'm Mr. Chicago.
Well, I mean, a Bulls hat with a Bears shirt, sure.
Okay.
Like, I try also to season it. Like, I'm more my Bulls gears out now. And to tell you the truth, I haven't proudly wore a lot of the Bears stuff. I wear the Walter Payton retro shirt from Obvious Shirts. There's a really cool South Lot parking lot shirt that I got from Deep Dish Pizza shirt company.
But the Cubs gear is in the back of the closet.
Yes. Okay. Well, I mean, and all my gear, too, is like today I worked out in my Kyle Schwarber shirt. Like, all of it is old. It's they don't have any of the players now, like John Lester. You know, Kyle Schwarber, Javi.
This may shock you. I don't put any thought into it.
I know that. I didn't. I wasn't really
what
asking
you.
Yeah. I will tend to stay away from trying to be Mr. Chicago. Like, if I'm wearing a Bulls like sweatshirt, I'm not wearing a Bears hat with it.
So you're one team.
I'm one team for the day.
One part of the body.
One team for the day. That's it. One team for the day.
Waddle's double dipped on the Bears.
That's fine. He's well, that's different. He's a former Bear.
I also have a Cincinnati T-shirt on too.
Oh, you got three layers on today for the cold weather.
That's why I didn't do it for.
What is that about the Cincinnati Surprise? What is that?
It's not called the Cincinnati Surprise. It's just Cincinnati. It says where cornhole and three ways are good, clean family fun.
Well, and that's a three way chili. Is that the reference?
Yes.
The
innuendo? What are you talking about? Of course, it's a three way chili
because it's chili, it's noodles, and cheese, right? Cheese.
Is that
could be onions.
A whole heap of unmelted cheese, right?
Could be onions.
Isn't that how they do
it? Beans. Doesn't it melt when you put it on the hot
beans,
chili?
You've seen the videos and all the baseball games. They show a handful of shredded cheese just slapped on top of some noodles.
They
call that chili. Ooh.
The last week they came out with, I think, the worst, or they ranked the foods that each NFL city is known best for. You know, it's very touristy. It's like for Chicago, of course, they had the deep dish pizza. And they ranked them. And the finishing in last was Cincinnati.
Skyline chili?
Yes.
I haven't had Skyline in like years. I haven't had it for years.
It's just too much. Like, I'm good with pasta. Good with chili.
It's an odd combo. But it's really an odd combo.
To just put it all together.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Sort of like it's sort of like being at a buffet and putting everything together on one plate and just eating it.
I feel like Waddle should just save time and put the chili right in the toilet.
Right.
Just save yourself an hour, like a half an hour.
Delicious chicken chili two nights ago.
Oh, right in there.
I actually had last night's dinner sitting on the toilet, so it just skipped one of the steps. No, I didn't. But
it's called the circle of life.
That's correct.
That's awesome. Martin in Arlington Heights wants to bring up something with you, Waddle. Hey, Marty.
Hi there. First time caller, guys, but I love what you do. Come to a lot of your live broadcasts that you do from time to time.
You're going
to
be there tomorrow?
Yeah, it's not far.
We're going back.
I do have to stock up, you know, got to stock up.
Well, I'm watching
you guys on Twitch right now, too.
So. All right, hello.
I did want to say, though, I usually follow Tommy Waddle's wise words because he's a wise man, you know. So I followed the Tommy Waddle model. He said the other day that he saw enough of the Bulls to turn it off. That's what I did at halftime. I had a +2400 bet rolling, +2400. It was Hornets win, Pistons win, Blackhawks win, Bulls win. If I won, it would have been $840.
Wow!
Turned it off, and this morning I woke up. What the heck happened? Yeah.
But Willard
can't even make a basket. Like Waddle said, I saw enough.
But Martin, you got a good night's sleep. You got that going for you.
I did.
Yeah.
But you know what even feels better? I don't care. I'm on a crazy heater. I just bet some teams I don't even know who the heck they are.
That's
random.
Well, give us a tip.
Over in France.
What tip? Yeah, give us a tip.
I don't have any tips, man. Just anything I touch right now is evidently hitting. I turned $50 into like $1,500 in the span of a week.
Boom, there you go, Martin.
Let me ask you a question.
So I don't feel
that
bad, but and last thing, I do have one more point to say before I go.
Wait, don't go, because I have a question for you then. Go make your point here, though.
Okay, tell Chris Black that we're trading for Christian Wood.
You guys co-own a fantasy team?
Oh, this guy. No, I know Martin.
You talking about the Bulls trade for Christian Wood?
A lot of people, want the Bulls to just trade nothing for something. Yeah, right.
Well, that's ideal. Don't worry,
it's ideal to give up.
Yeah, that'd be nice
for something.
Right? Yeah.
All right. What was your question?
I can tell.
What about Tony Bradley for Christian Wood? Would you do it?
I would. In a heartbeat. Why not?
Hey, Martin.
Give him another first or something.
Here's what I want to know, though. So you've got $800-something on the line, and the Blackhawks were on the West Coast, too. I want to say that Blackhawks.
They were up 3-0, I think, at the time.
I know, but they're still the Blackhawks. I don't know how you can go to sleep and just not.
It was late. I had to be up early.
I know, but with that much money on the line, I couldn't sleep. I'd be rolling over, checking the phone. I want to see that through. That's just me. It sounds like you're just able to go nighty-night.
Well, you got a thick bankroll like Martin's got. You don't sleep with any angst.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Appreciate
it. Martin.
I went from the Bulls game to the Hawks game.
Yes.
Before I went to sleep.
Pat Boyle gave out the winner last night.
Yeah, that was a good
one. It was a good
Hawks
one.
Hawks on the money line.
I had a good night, too, last night. I cashed out of the Bulls after the first half.
Smart
I didn't want
move.
To stress. I took the win, the $10 win.
There you go.
And it turned out to be the right move.
Nobody went poor taking a profit.
Yeah. Cordell on the south side. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Cordell?
Hey, guys. How you doing this afternoon?
Everything's good.
Fantastic. You?
Why do I need you to help me, brother?
Why?
Okay, this is a pushback on something you said that had me tripping out a little while ago about the possibility of Pace being kicked upstairs.
That dog's going crazy.
Because of what?
Yeah, no. Pace being kicked upstairs.
I'm not someone that is an advocate of him being kicked upstairs. I think it's likely that he's kicked in a different direction in the building. But I'm not an advocate of them making him in charge of hiring the guy to replace him for doing his job poorly. No, that's not my wish.
No, I know you're not an advocate of it. I just don't understand why would even that thought even happen though? If he couldn't run the team as a general manager.
Cornell, because they're stupid. And they've done business stupidly for decades. That's why.
I get it. I understand.
Cordell, how big are you?
How big am I?
Yeah, give me your measurements.
That's an odd question.
I'm about 5'7", 220.
All right, so you sound like you got a small dog, though. Like, I would picture you with a bigger dog.
No, I don't like big dogs.
What kind of dog is that? It's a yippy dog.
I'm sorry. That's Max, and he's acting weird today.
Yeah.
And he's a... He's a poodle mixed with a Pekingese.
He's not happy about the Bulls' second half last night.
Well, I wouldn't be either because I don't think that. I think they let go of the rope.
That's fair.
He's got the radio on the background.
Yeah, that's
the
okay, but he's keeping up pace. He's keeping up pace.
He stayed on pace.
Did you want it? Do you want everybody's particulars when they join us again?
Well,
we'll ring the bell for
him. Isn't that like your Timmy thing, where you say Timmy, in your opinion, is a small person's name?
It is.
My opinion, like big men. Well, no, Mongo always had a small dog. Big men like big dogs.
Oh,
like he sounded like a big tough guy, and then he had this little yippy dog in the back.
Little tiny dog.
Little tiny dog. Big man, little dog.
That's fair.
It's a lot. Probably a flawed philosophy, but
I bet you you'll find more big guys with little dogs than guys named Timmy that are actually big guys.
I think Barkley's got a small dog, too. We could ask him about that.
Yeah. Chihuahua, doesn't he? Does he have a chihuahua?
Does he have a chihuahua?
I thought he did.
Charles Barkley, we'll ask him that question. We'll talk about the Bulls with him. Barkley joins us coming up at 3.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Turn it up.
All right, Barkley's going to join us in 10 minutes. We'll talk about the Bulls. We'll talk about what's going on with his gambling. Scottie Pippen. We'll talk some football with him. Does he like Justin Fields? 3 o'clock is going to be loaded for those who love Curb Your Enthusiasm. I think Curb is coming off the best episode of the season. And in my opinion, this last Sunday's episode was a top 20 all-time episode of Curb. And you were mentioning this is like season 11 already. There's a ton of episodes.
Wow. I got to get on it.
Yeah. There's been like over 100 episodes of Curb. So to, you know, put an episode in a top 20, I'll ask Garland that.
Yeah.
But we'll talk to him. Also, he was at the Bulls game. Garland's at 3:30. Barkley's going to be at 3.
Garland still has season tickets for the Bears, I think.
Yes. And he was just in Chicago. He's been on Instagram in his Brian Piccolo jersey. He's got a Brian Piccolo jersey.
It's a good one.
Yeah, he was wearing his Bulls cap when he went on Instagram Live the other day. So it will be a lot of fun. Don't forget, Monday will be the first day of another year of the Waddle and Sylvie Holiday Parody Song Contest. Some people have listened to the show say it's the best time of the Waddle and Sylvie show. It's the best thing we do. And the cool thing about it is it's not what we do. It's what you do. It's about you, the fans. And you can win $1,000 plus other prizes. The grand prize winner will win $1,000 courtesy of Miller Lite, American Sale, your Chicagoland Toyota dealers, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, and Shady Rays. So this Monday, the website will be activated at ESPNParody.com. That's ESPNParody.com. You'll have about 3 weeks to enter. It will be open through the end of the show on December 10th. Then we will have crown a champion on December 17th at an event to be named later. We will tell you where that is coming up soon. But all of it is great. You want to hear one from last year?
Yeah, let's do it.
There were a couple here that I wanted to play. Do you want the shriveled Saint Nick?
Sure.
This is about Nick Foles. We thought this was going to win last year when it was first submitted.
Oh, yeah.
We all had high hopes. When Mitchell Trubisky got benched and Nick Foles came in Atlanta, the Falcons play tonight, by the way, and the Bears win. They pull off this miraculous comeback, and we're like, okay, this is the former Super Bowl MVP. There's a guy in his system now. This is going to go well. And then, like, a few games later, Nick Foles was hurt and benched, and the Nick Foles era never got
off the ground.
Yes. So this is Danny White, Doug Banks from last year, Shriveled Saint Nick.
Ooh, what happened to your game?
Shrinkage comes this time each year.
Ooh,
in the NFC North, where the air gets cold, there's a tale about a QB and his name is Foles. He used to pack a punch, but his game's gone limp. And the whole entire offense is now impotent. It's the shriveled Saint Nick.
Shriveled Saint Nick.
What happened to that
big Nick?
He's got a sprained hip.
He's got an arm like a noodle when he drops back to throw. When he sees the blitz coming, well, you already know. He shrinks up like a turtle and just falls to the turf. Yeah, playing for Matt Nagy must have cursed his bratwurst. It's a case of shrinkage.
Case of shrinkage.
Now he's Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage.
It shrinks?
He was a Super Bowl hero, put Tom Brady to shame. And he showed us that he lived up to his famous nickname. Now, 3 years later, we can just reminisce. Cause he shrivels up when the competition gets stiff. It's the tiny
Ooh,
Saint Nick.
Tiny Saint Nick.
Yeah, we're sick of this shtick.
A lot of good innuendo there. A lot of good references. Nice. The Peter Dinklage,
yeah.
The Peter Dinklage reference is a good one.
I think they thought they were going to win.
Yes. Oh, but yeah. He was salty.
Then the carriage ride.
We'll play that later in the show.
That one came in.
We'll play the champion that still is valid today. And I've got a story about that. Another episode of Groundhog Day, Bear Style, came up today in my memories.
Oh, fantastic.
And this is what we cannot let happen next year. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Bill on the north side, you're on Waddle and Sylvie. What's up, Billy?
Hey, guys. So I was listening to your conversation about clothing, and here I am, a 46-year-old dad, single dad, and I was dating a girl, and she told me, so I met her, and I had on a Bulls shirt and a Bulls shorts. I thought it looked good, because in the 90s, that's what we did.
Long shorts or tight shorts?
Long shorts.
Okay, good.
Normal shorts.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, you can't do that. She's like, you look stupid. She's like, it's either a neutral pair of black shorts and a Bulls shirt, or like a black or gray t-shirt and Bulls shorts.
She didn't know you had a game that night,
though,
Bill.
You had shoot around that morning for the Bulls.
Like, that's on her. That's not on you, Bill.
Tibbs needed you in uniform.
Right.
So if I do that with the Bears, Sox, or Bulls, I'm still in style.
Yeah, I mean, you may be lonely for a while, but, like, yeah. I mean, I'd give it a run. Do you like being by yourself, Bill?
Bill, you're 46. You can do whatever the hell you want. As Waddle would say, you're a grown-ass man. I wouldn't do it. You're not getting in uniform. I mean, you don't need everything matchy-matchy. I say go, I'm with her. But you do what you want.
All right, guys. Sylvia, I'm going to listen to you because, you know, someday I'd like to get somebody again.
And believe me, I'm no fashionista. So I
would wear the high tube socks with the stripes on them. That's what I would do.
The 70s socks?
The best.
They got to be coming back, right?
The best.
Pulling it up as far as you can.
The best ever.
All right. Charles Barkley will join us. Is he a big man with a little dog? We'll ask him if he's buying the Bulls to win a championship. And lots of fun as always. Charles Barkley in 2 short minutes.